Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five-time All-Star Al Horford has agreed to a four-year, $109 million deal with the 76ers.
Whoa! Woo! Can I get a little Where in the World is Al Horford? Because now we know.
I'm asking a serious question.
Go ahead, buddy.
Is that like a Good Morning Basketball type of show, or was that a free agency special last night somewhere? What was that, Jim?
It was a free agency special of The Jump with Rachel Nichols.
Okay.
You familiar with The Jump?
So that is the smoke that would blow up behind them whenever a new signing was announced, or an intended signing. Has anybody... So guys could sign yesterday at 6:01. No, they couldn't sign? You can just start the discussion.
July 6th.
So now they just have agreements in principle.
Yes.
Starting at 6 o'clock. All right.
Seemed like they had agreements in principle starting sooner than that.
That's the whole point, Ted. I mean, it's like whether you're signing at 6:01 or you're agreeing at 6:01, yeah. These conversations have been taking place for...
Days.
Months.
Okay, months.
Years, right?
Okay, you're right.
Like, tampering is alive and well.
Yes,
big Don't time. Worry about that. If you're a pro-tampering person, believe me, you got tampering for days. That's fine. Don't worry about that. But to me, as we get going here on this Monday, it's Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand. Michael Bryan, where they're taking care of headlines for us today, right? You're here all day?
I'm here with you all shift.
Double-checking all schedules
from here on out. He was here early. He's ready to go.
I can't even say anything about it because everyone's just going to say, why didn't you read the schedule? I don't know, because I was told one thing. I didn't think I had to read it.
Yeah.
Well, no, Mike wasn't on the schedule. Sean Silver was on the schedule, so Mike came in today.
Okay. So, you know, it's not just me.
You'll be okay, bud. We'll get through this.
I love working with Fred. I'm going to do the morning show tomorrow with Fred. Yeah. I just found
out. Day planned out.
I found out 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. There's you got to have 5 hours of downtime that you got to figure out what you're going to do with yourself.
Shut.
I'm just saying.
You and I could go play golf right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm ready.
We're both ready.
I'm ready to go, buddy. We got to go play some golf soon, please.
I would like that.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
Well, I mean, you know,
maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
You have a golf membership. You know.
All right.
You know, so.
So as we get rolling here, and last night was crazy. That was fun. The NBA free agency, this lives up to the hype. And we've talked about this for years, how this is, you know, whether it's trade deadline stuff or whether it's free agency, the NBA blows everybody else out of the water because the crazy stuff can happen and it's not set in stone. You don't necessarily know. And it is, they are huge, not just team changing, but league changing moves take place. And we had several of them yesterday. We can't do them all at once. I don't want to do a big shotgun approach. So let's start with what I believe to be the most interesting and impactful news from last night, and that is Al Horford agreeing to join the Philadelphia 76ers. To me, that was the one that stood out among all the other news. Kemba Walker joining the Celtics. What? Kyrie Irving going to the... What? No. Al Horford going to the 76ers, to me, that stood out as the biggie.
Now, that was a kick right in the groin, wasn't it, a little bit? Because when you consider, I was on yesterday with Marshall Hook in the afternoon, and there were started being reports, Hardy, that there was maybe a three-way deal to be had, you know, a signing trades with involved not only the Nets and the Charlotte Hornets, but and the Celtics to to work out deals in, via sign and trade so that you could be able to bring Al Horford back. And there's reports that there were these certain teams that were being mentioned with Al Horford, that there was a mystery team, and that was being reported as it was the immediate Celtics. So for the last couple hours of the show I did with Marshall Hook yesterday, we had this kind of idea, and there was momentum building as if Al Horford was maybe going to come back. So we let ourselves think that for a little bit, all right? That Al Horford back on this team with Kemba Walker. Okay, what does this team look like? Now you got Al Horford back, who is probably the best guy you have as far as defending Giannis, from Milwaukee. You need somebody who's going to be able to defend him. Right now, they don't. So you're getting all excited about, okay, the potential of this team. Maybe a 2 seed. Who knows? Maybe they could compete with Milwaukee as the number 1 seed. That's kind of where you're letting yourself go. And then an hour into free agency last night, you hear the news that Al Horford's going to the 76ers. Just a kick in the groin. It was tough because it's the 76ers. That's your, obviously your rival in a team that you compete in this Eastern Conference. So that was kind of heartbreaking news if you're a Celtics fan, big time.
Yeah, and ironically, Ted, from the get-go, I thought, and you said it, like there was a chance Al Horford could come back, and then there's the rumors about the 3-team deal.
Yeah.
Even though Al was the one who, through his agent, said Al intends to sign elsewhere on a 4-year deal because the Celtics are only offering 3, right?
Right.
And Kyrie Irving is the one who said, we all know, who famously or now infamously said last summer, I'm signing with Boston again if you'll have me. Mm-hmm. Oh, shucks. And even after what he said back on February 1st, and it's like, let's talk about this July 1st, blah, blah, blah. I just assumed that Kyrie was gone, but I thought, even though through his agent, Al said he's going to go somewhere else, there's a chance. Mm-hmm. There's a chance they can retain his services should things change, and he can, convince himself that this is the best place for him to win, because I think ultimately what he wants is a ring at this point in his mm-hmm. career, and I can't blame him for that. Or if the Celtics could somehow up their offer to a 4-year deal, that, there was a chance he would stay in Boston. Well, what he ended up doing, in my eyes, is going to a team where, A, he immediately is going to have a better chance, and he got his 4 years. I can't blame him for the decision. Yeah.
It's hard for me to sit there and think, though, that Hardy, that he's got a better opportunity to win a championship there. I mean, if he was on this team with Kemba Walker, with the young kids, maybe he's stepping it up and playing up to the level that we think, and Gordon Hayward, a lot of ifs. Maybe there's just too many ifs. For Al Horford's liking, but if Al Horford on this team, I almost would say it'd be at least as good as the 76ers, if not a little bit better.
Based on what? I mean, you look at the team as it is right now, yeah. You've replaced Kyrie Irving with Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. Who's better?
Okay, it's Kyrie Irving.
Okay,
but
all
who
right.
brings? We beat this to death.
This thing has plenty of life in it. Don't worry.
Okay.
We're going to just get your whooping stick out for the next 4 hours.
All right.
Because this is what is going to bug me today.
Okay.
For all the people who say, no, we're going to be fine, and everything is good here with the Celtics, because even though Al Horford's gone, it's the same people who loved Al Horford. The same people have been telling me for years that just because I have questions about his impact on whatever team he's playing on, that I don't know basketball, that I can't see the things he does away from the ball. And it was a lot of work for me to try and become a convert, like our producer, Jim Louth. He became an Al Horford convert. He was able to see it. I could see it at times, but I was not convinced that he was the impactful player commanding the type of salary and the money and all that stuff. But most people were. The green teamers were. And they love Al Horford. And now he's gone. And you're going to tell me everything's going to be okay? That's number one. But number two, if he were to stay here, he would have Kemba Walker instead of Kyrie Irving. Yep. Kemba Walker is not as good a player.
No.
He's also got Aaron Bain's gone. Okay?
That's big too.
Okay,
right?
So no help there in the if you're gonna play center for the Celtics, yep. Which would presumably be his position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. What how is it that they are somehow better suited to go further than a 5-game second-round playoff exit with a team that just on paper is not as good? Explain it to me.
Here's the thing, because I think Kemba Walker's he's committed here long term. All right, he doesn't have 1 foot out the door. He's not undermining his coach. Look, he's a junkyard dog. I think he would raise the level of everyone else's play because you wouldn't have all the stuff behind the scenes that you had when Kyrie Irving was here. So is he a better player? Hell no. We know that. Kemba Walker's not a better player than Kyrie Irving. However, what he is, I think, is a better overall teammate and guy who's going to raise the level of everyone around him. Everyone's going to get theirs. There's not going to be all the infighting. And I think that just that in and of itself makes him more valuable than what Kyrie Irving was bringing to the table
at this point. Okay, more valuable in terms of team chemistry. And I don't know that Kyrie was undermining the coach.
Oh, all the time.
I don't. In what way? In what way did he undermine Brad Stevens?
Oh, he was. You talk about the Kyrie Irving's comments about Kemba Walker, and when they played the Charlotte Hornets, and he said something to the fact that everybody traps Kemba Walker, but we didn't. He says little things in the media that undermines his coach. There's example after example of Kyrie Irving undermining Brad Stevens with comments that he's made in the media.
I'm not trying to tell you that it was a fun locker room with Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and, you know, whoever.
Oh, it was toxic. It was toxic, so it's no surprise they didn't get past the second round in the playoffs this year.
I think there have been plenty of instances where guys did not get along and they were able to overcome it. And we're going to get into this today.
Not this team with the young guys. They have young guys that couldn't handle it.
We're going to get into more of this later when we talk about Kevin Durant and his reasons behind leaving Golden State. That is even more head-scratching to me. But if Shaq and Kobe can win together, you're telling me that, you know, it's impossible? Now you're talking about two, you know, planet players at the time, right?
Right.
This is not a Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown situation. You don't mention those two in the same breath with Shaq and Kobe. But guys don't always get along, you know? You don't necessarily have to be best friends with the guys you're playing with. In fact, you can have real animosity toward each other. Hell, some of those 80s Celtics teams, you know, these guys were not best friends. I don't think Larry Bird was the most likable guy.
That's true.
And Cedric Maxwell, and you read Jackie McMullen's book about, you know, how, you know, guys, you know, spoke to each other and talked with each other. It's not a necessity. It's nice, but it's a borderline luxury. So I don't discount team chemistry, but you're going to have a lot of trouble convincing me that this team is just automatically better off with their best player gone.
It is.
Okay.
It is. Because the chemistry is more important, you think, on a team like this with a Brad Stevens type of coach he's more about that than he is. I mean, we saw he has an issue like coaching guys with egos and guys that are, you know, you know, the egos they have that like Kyrie Irving. So look, I think it's just Kemba Walker is a better fit for this team, for this coach, with the dynamic that you have with the young players. And you have a lot of young players that they drafted. Okay. I think that people are actually thinking they're going to have to count on this year, man. So you need a leader at your point guard position who has, you know, just the team in mind and wants to be here. That's a huge reason I think it's going to be a better team with Kemba Walker than with Kyrie Irving, regardless of the fact that he's not as good as Kyrie Irving.
All right, I would love to separate these moves, but they're all intertwined. It's a spaghetti bowl of players and personnel and changes within the conference. You know,
there we go.
You know what, Jim? They could hire you as a sound effects guy for that show because that is a Jim Louth quality sound effect right there. So while I would love to like focus in on Al Horford to the Sixers, the fact that Kyrie's gone to the Nets and Kemba Walker's coming here, they're all intertwined. So you can weigh in on all of it. 617-779-0985 as we get rolling here. It's Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks, rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard.
Do you remember this video?
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
It's Paul Simon?
It's Paul Simon, but Paul Simon, I believe, yeah. Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
And is it just the two of them?
I thought there was a third guy.
Yeah, I may be confusing it with Bobby McFerrin. Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Robin Williams.
I think Robin Williams and that other actor who nobody knows his name. All right.
Remember when Chevy Chase had his own talk show for a minute?
Oh, yeah, it was really good.
My gosh. You talk about just
you want to talk about
slow car crash like every night.
No chemistry. Like, oof. The people who hate Chevy Chase, I mean, it rivals Kyrie Irving. Al Horford to the 76ers. Yeah. We're taking your calls. Ted Johnson and me, Hardy, doing the Zolak and Bertrand show today. So let's get to them. We're going to start with Brandon in Boston. Go ahead. Brandon wants to talk about something that needs to be addressed with this Celtics team now. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. So we know that Robin Lopez and Brooke Lopez signed with Milwaukee. So those guys off the table. So if you're looking for some stretch floor bigs that are out there, an underrated player like Isaac Humphries, which is a great player, had a career high of 32 points. He didn't play that much in the league with Atlanta. But this guy is a hard player. He can drive to the basket. He can block. Second chance point type of player. Can shoot that corner three. He's what you need on the team. He's just like Al Horford. He can do the pick and roll. He's a real great player. He's very underrated. But if you look at his highlights, you look at his game, that's a guy they should pick up a stretch for a big. And you got Frank Kaminsky out there. So those are two plays you should look at. But if I had to choose between the two, Isaac Humphries. So just want to know your thoughts on him.
All right, I appreciate it. I don't know what Isaac Humphries sounds like, and now we have to address this every time we get a call like that. Yeah. Could that be Isaac Humphries that just called us?
It could be.
Well, last time we thought he was Brandon Bass because he suggested them bringing Brandon Bass back. Kaminsky, though, he could be worked into the sign and trade, right? Theoretically?
Frank Kaminsky?
He could be worked into if him and Kemba come here and Terry Rozier goes out, I think they might have to give up another piece probably to make the money work. But
okay. And do we know about his chemistry with Kemba Walker?
I mean,
these are all things that we have to address now. Now it's all about chemistry.
Well, it's a big part of it. Let's not get crazy.
No, it's just the whole thing. you and everybody else so happy. Kyrie, so happy. Yeah. The best player's gone because it was bad for chemistry. Yeah. What's the chemistry going to be like between Kemba Walker and either Humphries or
Kaminsky? Chemistry in 2016, 2017? It was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, everybody was sharing the ball. There was an ISO ball. It wasn't hero ball. It was fun to watch. It was a fun brand of basketball when everybody was getting along. That counts for something. I know the chemistry
thing. Wait a second. In what year?
2016, 2017.
Okay. How was it in 17, 18?
It was terrible.
17, 18?
Well, last year. Not this year, but the past year.
The year before?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kyrie Irving was here.
Well, he was hurt for the end of the last
for the playoffs.
And
that's
how do you think it's going to be for the first few months with the Nets? It's going to be awesome. The honeymoon period is going to be awesome, just like it was here. Once the honeymoon period wears off, it's going to be the same thing.
Yep. Look, I'm big on having guys that want to be here, that are committed here, that aren't undermining the coach, that are good leaders, that aren't passive-aggressive, that actually, act like they want to be here. So that's big with me.
Here's where players want to be, where they can make the most money and win a championship. And if forced to choose, most times players will take the most money. Sometimes they will take the championship if they already have a championship. And we're seeing that now with some of these moves. But in the case of Al Horford, he feels he got both, right? So the whole want to be here, want
to
play.
Well, Kemba
here,
took less money to come win a championship here.
Yeah, he wants to win a championship. He's not going to win.
He hasn't won one yet, though.
They're not going to. They're not going to win one.
Let's face it.
He knows that.
Let's face it, though. And I maybe underestimated this a little bit when it comes to Al Horford. He went for the money, I think, more than anything. I mean, do you think that organization with that coach and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons is the answer to winning championships? Are you kidding me? I mean, the Celtics have owned the 76ers. So I just don't see how Al Horford going there, he thinks all of a sudden he's got a better chance of winning championships than if he would have stayed here. He's making more money. So I thought that it was more about winning championships for at this point now, Horford. That was what I was led to believe. Well, it's not,
it depends on what you want to believe. He did say at one point he wanted to win championships, but he also wanted the four-year deal. And I don't think the Celtics, even though there were reports that they came in last minute with a four-year offer, he had the 4 years on the table from the 76ers, and you can't discount this, he doesn't have to play center in Philadelphia. He wants to be a power forward. It's too much. It's too much out of him. And I would be careful about that whole. You should have given him the 4 years. As a matter of fact,
I agree.
I'll let Pete in Delaware go off on this for a second. Okay. Pete, we can discuss this. Go ahead. You're on with Hardy and Ted Johnson. What do you got?
Hey guys. So look, I'm a UConn guy, so I'm happy about Kemba, but I would have still taken, in my opinion, Al Horford first if it was an option. I still don't know because reports with the Celtics said they went 4 years. But the thing is watching the Celtics with Al Horford, he made other players better because people respect his game. He can pass the ball out. He does a pick and roll great. He plays good defense. Now we're talking about guys like Frank Kaminsky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that just kind of proves my point that there is not another guy like Al Horford. And it's Brad Stevens' offense. Who is going to be the guy down low that's going to work that offense close to what Al Horford did? And I think, to me, that's the part about Al Horford's value to the Celtics, not to every other team, but to Celtics and Brad Stevens' offense, that how are we going to find that guy? And that guy does matter, in my opinion.
Would you have given him 4 years, you know, around the $100 million range? He's going to be 37 at the end of that contract.
I understand, Hardy.
That's the big question, Pete. And I got to let you go because we got a lot of calls to get to. That's the hesitation, and that's where the hiccup is. Are they a better team next year with Al Horford on it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The year after that? Absolutely. Year after that? It's a conversation. After that, if he's still playing center
at
the age of 37?
Fair point. But fans don't care about years 3 and 4. They care about this year and in the next couple of years. That's so people initially – I think most people would be like, why didn't you sign him? Because he's going to make you better. I mean, this team went from maybe, at least a two seed in the East without Horford. Now they're back to a 4 or 5 seed and without Al Horford. And so I think everybody's going to be a little bit disappointed because he's a good player and he's a good fit in the system.
Yeah.
And not having him is going to hurt. I think the optics of it would have looked really good, too. Here's a guy that said he was leaving and then decided to come back. Now the Kemba Walker's here. It would have been a good look, and I think it would have just made people feel a lot better. This team would have been better for the next couple of years. I get years 3 and 4, but people don't care about that.
Paul in North Carolina has thoughts on Kemba Walker. Go ahead, Paul.
Hardy, you are digging your heels in way too hard about the team not being better with Kemba instead of Kyrie. Do you really feel as though the team played to its potential when Kyrie was on the team last year?
Not this past year, no.
No, but that's the point, is they are a better team cohesively, possibly, we'll have to see how it plays out, with Kemba, because we know that Kyrie was not getting the best out of what the team had to offer from its talent. So it's not like we're playing NBA 2K here. It's not just because you have good players means the team's going to be good. If they get along better, they could play better to their potential. That's just my thought on it.
Okay, and I understand what you're saying. There is something to be said for not just assembling the best players and expecting it all to work, or the best players you can get. However, in most circumstances, not always, but in most circumstances, when it comes down to it, the team with the better player, who has the best player in a 7-game series? Just pick that one team. Whatever team has the best player, that team ends up winning. Now, I don't believe it happened with Milwaukee because I think Giannis was the best player on the court. But Kawhi Leonard emerged as the best player and continued to be that way against Golden State. Steph Curry, for as phenomenal as he is, it wasn't enough to overcome that best player factor. And I hate to be so reductive about it when it comes to, you know, any sport, and especially the NBA, because there are nuances and there are so many things that go into it. But throughout the course of a 7-game series, this is what we're talking about here. We're not necessarily talking about how many regular season wins and how they're going to get along. What are they going to look like? Playoffs. This is a team now that is accustomed to being in the playoffs. Come playoff time, You're going to put Kemba Walker out there representing your team as the best player on your team. How do you like your chances?
Yeah, look, I tell you what, Kyrie Irving, best player on the Celtics. How do you do in the second round of this past year? I mean, he laid an egg. He didn't even show up. So, I mean, he wasn't even.
But the Bucks had the better player.
Okay, but the point.
I mean, again, I hate to be like so dismissive and elementary about it, but it's kind of what it boils down to.
No, he shouldn't shoot 6 for 26 or whatever he shot because they have a better player on the other side. Hit a couple more of those shots, maybe.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, man. When you think of the Celtics, you think of championships.
Sure.
Think of winning. And that's what I'm about. I'm about, you know, competing for championships and winning. You know, that's something that I haven't been able to do throughout the early years of my career. You know, I haven't been a consistent winner in this league. And, you know, I just felt like Boston was the best fit for me to, you know, try and accomplish those kind of goals.
Just do yourself a favor. Don't put tons of stock in what any player says about coming to town because
so wrong.
You're going to want to hold it against them in a couple few years. What? Am I wrong? I mean, Kemba Walker seems like a nice guy, a genuine guy, an honest guy. I thought the same thing about Kyrie last year when he said he was re-signing.
No, there was some weird stuff about Kyrie coming out that came out when he came here for the reasons he wanted to leave LeBron and all that stuff. And when he was at Duke, there was some weird stuff about Kyrie, too, going back there. Everything about Kemba has been positive. Everything I've read about Kemba has been positive.
Real quick. So let's just make this clear, because everybody references what you just said, Hardy.
What did I say?
Kyrie Irving said he wanted to be here.
Torrey Krug retweeted that very statement, which I thought was awesome. Another reason to love that
guy. Let's remind people and give context to what he said, where he said it, when he said it. It was at a fan appreciation night at the beginning of the season. He's out there, and you know all these people are there, caught up in the moment.
Endorphin release.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah. He's like, and it just blurted out, if you'll have me, I'll come back. Okay, dude, he was playing to the audience, and we hold him to those comments, and I just think that's a bit unfair. Did he say it? Did he say he wanted to come back? Yes. But when you think of it in the context of it was the fan appreciation night, he was playing to the crowd, you know, to hold him to that, I think is a little bit somewhat absurd.
Do you think he knew he was leaving that night, though? I do. I think he was gone. I think the Nets rumors started last June, right? The Nets rumors started last June. They didn't just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
When do you think it was the All-Star break when they were talking in the hallway and that's when they decided they were both going to Brooklyn? I think Kyrie knew a long time ago he was gone.
So now you're just chalking him up to pure evil. Now he's just lying for the sake of lying.
I think he got caught up in it, like Ted said. But I do think in the back of his mind he knew he was gone.
I agree.
So he's trolling the Celtics fans?
I don't know. I don't even know what that is.
I think if I say this, that's sociopathic behavior. No, if I say this, I don't have to answer questions about it anymore. The entire season. And he didn't. He didn't until February 1st when he's the one who came out and said
he was.
I'll make my decision July 1st or whatever he said that day.
He was just trying to get through this season and saying, I think, anything for the most part, early on at least, and then halfway through he started, you know, then he became very sour in his comments. But I think he was just trying to get through this season, placate the fans, get through it, say what he needed to say just so, you know, that he could get through it. I think you're right, Jim. I think he knew before the season started he had no intentions of signing here. Got caught up in
you
the got, moment.
You guys, are, you guys are turning him from someone who changed his mind into a duplicitous.
Oh, yeah. You don't think he's. Oh, yes. Yes.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think he's a flake. Okay. I think he is a flat earth truther who is not operating on. He's not firing on all cylinders all the time. I think you're giving him way too much credit. You think he's planning a whole year out, and then he just and you know he said that to get everybody off his back, but then he decided to create this S storm on February 1st by saying talk to me on July 1st and undoing everything. You know, this long con or whatever it is you're doing. Stop it. He's a flake. He changes his mind, bounces back and forth. He didn't know what's happening. Probably didn't even know he was he didn't know he was going to the Nets until he finally got Kevin Durant to agree to go there, too. That's what...
Oh, I don't know. If you believe everything the stories is, they wanted to play together. Durant wanted to play with the Knicks, and Kyrie wanted to play with the Nets.
Right.
And somehow the Nets won.
Right. All right, let's go to Larry in Boston. Larry, you're on with Hardy and Ted Johnson. What's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and let me just say it's an honor to... be listening and talking to Ted Johnson, one of the biggest Patriots there ever lived.
Thank you, Larry.
What am I, like, crap on the heel of your shoe?
No, thank you. Thank you for the job you do. I have to disagree a little bit with Mr. Johnson, though, because I think Kemba Walker is going to be a nice player, but I don't think he's going to be much more than that. I think that the reason the Celtics signed him is because they couldn't get another top guy. They couldn't get somebody higher than him. And I think they signed him because they wanted to convince Al Horford to come back. And I think given that they haven't been able to sign Al Horford, he's going to be a nice player. I don't foresee him being first, second team NBA again. And I don't see these Celtics winning too many games in the playoffs. Just curious, how many games has Kemba Walker won in the playoffs?
All right, well, thank you for the call, Larry. Number one,
eight years he's been in the playoffs twice, and I think his eight-year career.
Okay, his comment line said, isn't sold on Kemba. And you shouldn't be until you see him play with this group and all that stuff. I do not have the same amount of skepticism. I think he's going to be very good. I think he's going to be very good for this team. And they didn't sign him necessarily as a means to try and keep Al Horford. They signed him because they needed a point guard. And it wasn't going to be Terry Rozier. You're not going to put Marcus Smart in that situation. You needed a point guard. You needed somebody to handle the ball. You needed Kyrie gone. They had pretty much figured that one out on their own. That's why they got Kemba Walker.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with it. I think trying to it'd have been nice if you get Al Horford back at a reasonable price, but that's not why they signed Kemba Walker.
Right. On the periphery, okay, maybe this will, you know, entice Al to reconsider and think about it, and then you come in last minute with four. They didn't want to keep Al Horford, not for 4 years. They would, if Al had picked up that option for next year and the $30.1 million he was due for the 19 in 2020 seasons, they would have been thrilled. We'll give it a whirl. We'll see how it goes. But the fact that he re-signed somewhere else, I'll let him go. They got to be having second thoughts today with the fact that he went to Philadelphia, but that's another conversation.
Do you think that Boston didn't re-sign Al Horford or that Al Horford left Boston? Because I think that he didn't want to play center, like you said. He wanted to play the four. He took more money. I think Boston did a...
No.
I think Boston did all they could to re-sign him, and Al was still, I'm going elsewhere.
It's a good question. I want to answer it on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. Did Al leave, or did the essentially the Celtics say, we don't want you? Mm-hmm. You know, what combination, maybe, but which was more in play? 617-779-0985, Hardy and Ted Johnson on Zolak.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Jim Louth, expert audio troll, playing Philadelphia Freedom. As we continue here, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Ted Johnson. Mike O'Brien asked a very good question before the break, which we will all answer. But first, time to check Twitter with Ted Johnson.
Okay, Twitter time with Ted. All right, this is just a couple things I came across just now during the break that I sit here and I look at these things and I go, okay, maybe this will convince you, Hardy. This is a better move to having Kemba Walker. This is what Kemba Walker said. Last night in the interview, he said this, quote, I'm a leader in my own way. I'm never going to shout anyone off the court or get overly negative. It's not my style. How's that feel? I just listen. I'm never going to shout anyone off the court. I'm never going to get negative. It's just not my style. Doesn't that sound good to the ears when you hear a player on the Celtics say that?
No. I want someone who's going to make the other players cry. I want Kevin Garnett making Glenn Davis cry.
No, that's what I
want.
Can I give you another one from Kemba that I heard this weekend?
Yeah.
From a Charlotte reporter. He said when Tony Parker came to the Hornets last season, it was looked at as, oh, we got the two point guards now. And Kemba looked at it as, oh, wow, I get to learn from Tony Parker. And he said, I'll play off the ball a little bit. He realized he played off the ball a little bit, and he realized it was less taxing on his body. So he was happy that he was playing with Tony Parker, even though Parker was getting the point guard minutes and he wasn't.
Look at that. There we go. Another example why this is a great move. And then Jaylen Brown weighed in on Twitter about Kemba Walker coming here. Welcome to the city, my guy, at Kemba Walker with a fire emoji. All positive vibes, all good upward momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
The future is bright for the Celtics.
Do you remember how good that locker room sounded after they went out west and beat Golden State and they got those back-to-back wins and back-to-back nights, first against Golden State? And then they have to, what do they go to, Sacramento the next night, and they play without Kyrie Irving, got another win. I mean, it was like, how did the team chemistry feel at that point?
It was the magic plane ride.
Because once again, not to be reductive or dismissive of any of these wonderful points everyone has, you know what creates great chemistry?
Winning.
There it is.
All right, winning.
There it is.
I hear you. Proof is in the pudding. I got you, Hardy.
It truly is.
I hear you, bud. I hear you. But just considering what we all had to endure, and let's face it, this was not a fun season to endure.
No.
So,
but it's mostly because of the way it ended. Look, and again, this is not going back months or last year or anything else. This is going back to round one when they rolled over the Pacers and swept Indiana and won game one against Milwaukee. How is everybody feeling about the team? Freaking great. This is fantastic. These guys are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. It finally clicked between Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and Tatum and Brown, and everybody's playing. They figured it out. No, they started losing. And all of a sudden, it was the most toxic place on earth. It was 3 Mile Island. You can't go near that Celtics locker room. It was just this den of despair. What happened? Oh, they lost four straight to Milwaukee and got bounced from the postseason. You know, you want to assign all these. And yes,
we saw that coming, though, man. We saw that coming.
No, he did. Oh,
you
saw them winning the first five games of the postseason and then being swept out of the rest of the postseason. You called that?
I will tell you this. I called that they were going to they weren't going to advance past the second round two or three months before the season ended. You could just see
that. Now I'm talking about.
It's the truth.
Because everything changes. It all swings. It's all, you know, it's what are you feeling at that moment? And I, like most other people, thought, yep, okay, well, they're through the second round now. It doesn't matter that Giannis is out there. This team's got to figure it out.
We all knew. I think most people had this feeling. The second they faced adversity in the playoffs, it was over. They swept the Pacers. No adversity. They beat Milwaukee game one. No. They lose game two against Milwaukee. First time they face adversity. Whoo, man. You know what? Let's get let's get the Cabo reservations going. let's start our vacation plans. They were done. When they lost game two against Milwaukee, the first time they had faced adversity in the playoffs, they were like, all right, it's not going to be easy. Screw it. We're done. And you saw that was the makeup of this team all season long. The only thing I think that most people had some hope about was what Kyrie kept saying over and over. And I was like, okay, maybe Kyrie's like, it's not about the regular season. It's about the playoffs. All right. He kept saying that. So, as if we can turn a switch on. Okay. Problem is, no one really truly believed it because this team had never done that before.
Didn't believe it until they won five straight.
All right.
The postseason.
It's the Pacers. I mean, come on. I mean, the Indiana Pacers. It's okay. Milwaukee game one. All right. Even Even Paul Pierce was feeling himself, right, after game one.
I'm just saying, for everybody who wants to put this all on Kyrie, it's not all on Kyrie.
It's not, no.
And it's certainly not
on
Al.
He's a big part of it, but you're right.
It's not all on Al. It's, none of it's on Al Horford, according to most people. According to Al Horford, things are in flux right now. And for anyone who thinks it's automatically going to be better just because Kyrie is gone, I said, okay. It might be a better locker room, but I don't know about you. I don't watch the locker room. I turn on the games at tip-off, and I'll maybe watch one walk-off interview, and then we talk about them the next day. I don't watch locker room. I watch games.
But you're acting like Kemba Walker is like this big step down. He's definitely a step below. The guy averaged 25 points a game.
Great.
He averaged 6 assists a game.
Yeah.
4.5 rebounds.
Yes. In Charlotte. This is a different team. Okay? And maybe he'll come in there and do that, but and again, not to be cliche, there's only one guy who can shoot the ball at a time, mm-hmm. and you're still going to have issues with distribution. Now, he seems to be a much more, you know, equitable player, and he's more willing to share the ball. You know, we're talking about the Tony Parker comments and all that. That's great. I don't know that they're automatically – again, it's difficult for me to comprehend that this team is automatically better now that Kyrie is gone. And, oh, by the way, Al Horford is also playing for the Sixers.
Well, there's the key. If Al Horford was on this team, I'd say it's a better over team. This team isn't better now with Kimba here because I think Al Horford is not on this team. And so they have a huge, huge, I don't know, glaring need at center all of a sudden, which you can't dismiss.
So back to Al Horford. The question again, did Al Horford leave? Or was he essentially forced to leave by the Celtics? Mike, you asked the question, so you get to answer it first.
I think he left. I think that they came back late with the 4-year deal. Maybe it was a little bit less money from the Celtics and Danny Ainge, but I think Al wanted to play the four. He didn't want to play center, didn't want to go up against Joel Embiid and all the big centers in the Eastern Conference night in, night out. And he went to Philly.
So by virtue of their moves and by virtue of the way the team was currently constituted and what they were willing to do, doesn't matter, he wanted to leave. Ted, did he want to leave or was he forced to leave?
I think he wanted to leave. I mean, there's just like Mike kind of outlined it, I think the money was more important than what we thought.
But how could he want to leave? Kyrie was already gone. Why would he want to leave? Everything's so much better without Kyrie. Why would he want to leave?
Well, yes, it's okay. I hear what you're saying. It's the money. The money's a big part of it. If the Celtics weren't willing to match Philly's offer at 4 years, and
did he know Kemba Walker was coming here last night?
Yes.
What? I don't understand why he left.
More money. That's the biggest reason.
Okay.
That's the biggest reason, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't think look.
Wrap your heads around it.
I don't know how you think you can go to Philly and think you have a better chance of winning if you were to stay here with the young talent that you have and Kemba Walker coming. No, he's not Kyrie Irving, but he's the second best thing. He was the second best point guard in the free agent market this year.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. Loaded lines. We're going to get to every single one of your calls, and then we have back-to-back guests, starting with Sean Grandy. Coming up at 11:20.
He's at 11:35.
11:35.
National guy, Tom Haverstraw from NBC. He's going to be at 11:20.
He's at 11:20.
Yes. Grandy at 11:35.
There we go. So that means we got to get to all these calls next in 90 seconds, no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.